Thank you all for joining us here at I-80 Sports, where today we are giving you our new division predictions, as well as other news and notes around the league. Thank you for checking us out here at I-80 Sports. Make sure you check us out down below at i80sports.com. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter at i80_sportsNHL. We did it. We actually did it. At the 11th hour, we hit 500 followers on Twitter. Guys, thank you guys so much for your support. And I'm going to hit that lofty goal up again. I'm hoping that we end this year at 1,000 or more. And it only happens with you guys. So please make sure that you follow our content for all of your NHL and USA hockey news. I'm Brian. He's Tom. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Sorry for the delay. I'm trying to do four things at once here to get this statistics that I want for the World Juniors up. I'm doing well. We're moving along right here with hockey. We have training camps that have started now for everybody. We have the World Juniors in full swing with semis tonight. Great time to be a hockey fan right now. You know, a lot of good things coming up.
And speaking of good things coming up, one thing that we got coming up on the docket here at I-80 Sports, we've got a fantasy hockey league that we have planned and planning to roll out any day now. And if you are interested in that listener fantasy hockey league, comment down below. Let us know that you're interested, and we can get you all the information you need to join our league. We'd love to have some of our followers join us in this fantasy hockey league so that way we can have fun together as a community. But we're going to dive into some news and notes around the league. On the docket for today, we are going to be talking our new division predictions because, as you remember, a few weeks ago, we had discussed the old format with the old division realignment, or as I like to say, the usual division realignment. But unfortunately for this year, under the circumstances of a shortened season, we do have to redo those and we have to recant a couple things. Some things are similar, so we'll keep it relatively short and sweet in some regard, but we do need to update some things. But first, we have some news and notes around the league, and you know, I'm reflecting from last week and I'm thinking to myself, could it get worse for Chicago? And then it did, because Chicago center and captain Jonathan Toews will be out indefinitely with an unknown illness. He's had complaints of fatigue, depression, being overall just lethargic. And this is pretty serious. And without, you know, getting into more detail, Tom, what do you think of this news that has currently fallen onto Chicago's lap?
To be honest with you, I'm actually a little surprised with this. Now, it's not a laughing matter, as some people I have seen talked about it. It's not a laughing matter, but I find it funny because it seemed like he had a nice little resurgence there in the playoffs here, especially in that play-in series against Edmonton. And I find it a little surprising because I literally thought in August it looked like he found the fountain of youth again. So I don't know. This could be a slew of things. You know, there's a lot of stuff, as we've seen with Henrik Lundqvist. There's a lot of stuff throughout these guys' careers that goes undiagnosed. You know, maybe with the time, you know, maybe throughout the years he did have this during the season and he just figured, oh, well, you know, it's playing, it's practicing, it's being on the road. And, you know, maybe now sitting home in Chicago from August till now, you know, basically just sitting home and having these feelings without doing anything, maybe, you know, was a red flag. Maybe this was something he had all along and he just didn't know about it. So, you know, in a way, it's good to get it checked out now. This has happened to guys. I mean, I'm sure it's recoverable, but at the same time, we don't know what it is. Will he have to retire? Will he be back? We really don't know. It's a huge death blow for Chicago, though. Now they're down their top two centers, Kirby Dach and Jonathan Toews. It's going to be a really, really rough year over there. But it's unfortunate, but what can you do? It's just bad luck.
It's bad luck all around. And I mean, certainly we do hope that Jonathan Toews does recover soon, but it does certainly seem to come out of left field. It's definitely something that wasn't on a lot of people's radar of something that could happen. So I am surprised, and I am now filled with doubt over Chicago's upcoming season as to what that could look like. You also have Brent Seabrook, one of their big defensemen, not on the bigger side anymore because of injuries, but certainly a locker room leader that has been placed on the unfit to perform list now. So now it might be some time until he's back as well. Chicago is gutted at the moment. They're going to need to figure out something and very quickly. Moving onward and upward, we're going to talk about some signings real quick, which we had a couple that are just par for the course and a couple that made us turn our heads and actually were very surprised by. So first and foremost, we had Andreas Athanasiou to the Los Angeles Kings on a one-year deal. We had Ethan Bear re-signing in Edmonton, getting his big boy contract. Then we had the one that came out of left field, Zdeno Chara to Washington on a one-year minimum deal. Then we also had Derek Brassard going to Arizona, and we also had Pierre-Luc Dubois finally re-signing in Columbus. This might not necessarily mean any means of like him staying long-term, but we'll dive into that a separate time. But to me, this Zdeno Chara deal coming out of left field signing in Washington, don't you think, Tom?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, I don't want to, the writing was sort of on the wall there that he was done in Boston. I heard he was talking to Toronto, but I mean, what veteran wasn't talking to Toronto? But I mean, I think up in Washington, they know that this is sort of the last gasp right now. Unfortunately, they brought Laviolette in, they brought Chara in, you know, you still have your core there of Backstrom and Ovechkin. And John Carlson. I mean, Carlson's not old by any means, but I mean, he's old. He's not exactly a rookie anymore either. But I do think that this was just brought in to fortify the team, to bring in some veteran depth. And really, this is they're really going for it because they know that this year and next year might be their last shot at going for a cup and being a contender. You know, they're gonna eventually have to go the way of Chicago, or go the way of many other teams who were once great but in decline. So you know, right now they're trying to just strike while the iron's hot. Maybe trying to get one more cup there for Ovechkin and then take it from there. So we'll see what happens. He's not going to have the responsibilities he had in Boston. He's obviously not going to be the captain. He's not going to be the number one defenseman. He's not going to run the power play. But you know what? He's a solid option to have on your middle pairing or your lower pairing. It's a solid option to have. It's somebody who's been there and somebody that you're not expecting much out of. It's, you know, sort of like, I guess you could aken it to when Larry Robinson went to L.A. in the early 90s, you know. Just bringing a veteran guy in to try and win one more and, you know, give the team a little bit of a push.
Yeah, and definitely having leadership like Zdeno Chara in the locker room is huge. I mean, this is a guy who, before leaving Boston, was the longest tenured captain in the NHL. And now that fun fact actually now goes to Sidney Crosby, now who is the longest tenured captain in the entire league. But Zdeno Chara going to Washington is a good move on both ends. I think Washington has a lot to gain from Zdeno Chara inside and like on the ice and off the ice as well. And I think it's going to be left to be seen what he can give on the ice. And I think he is a good, he's going to be a solid middle pairing guy. I think he's going to be very solid and can step up to the plate if need be to fill in gaps here or there. The other signing I did want to highlight on here was Pierre-Luc Dubois re-signing in Columbus, and there have been rumblings that he could be a deadline deal in April. Do you buy into that, Tom?
Really depends where Columbus is at the time. You know, last year they had that little, I'd say that nice little victory over Toronto in the playing round, but they were a bubble team, and I'm not sure this year that they will be a playoff team. I think this was just more of if he didn't sign, he wasn't going to play. So he signed so he could play. And then if Columbus is out of the picture in the playoffs, which I'm thinking they will be, you know, then somebody may take a flyer on them that needs that help on their second or third line. I don't think any of the contenders are going to be looking for a first line center. But if you need center depth, might be a guy to look at. Right now, we don't know, the season hasn't started yet, so anything can happen.
Anything's possible. And I think Dubois has a lot to prove in Columbus. I think he is the real deal, and I think he can be a player that steps up for Columbus and is that, you know, top line forward that they know he can be. But if Columbus is trending southward, it might be beneficial to try to get something out of him. But before we move on to World Junior coverage, to sandwich in between our division preview coming up, we did want to wrap up our little news and notes with some really positive news. Now, as you know, Tom and I'm a Devils fan. Tom's a Rangers fan. So we collectively don't like the Philadelphia Flyers, but this is actually news that we really do like. Nolan Patrick has been cleared to return for the Philadelphia Flyers, which this is huge for the Flyers. Nolan Patrick, as you probably remember, was the number two overall pick in 2017 behind Nico Hischier. And he's had some bumps and bruises. He had a very, very major migraine issue last year that just could not get solved. And it seems like, fingers crossed, that those issues are currently behind Nolan Patrick and he's ready and, you know, ready for revenge on the ice. Do you kind of get that impression, Tom? And how do you feel about this?
I think he is ready for revenge. It's kind of been unfortunate that he hasn't been able to play. He had, I guess, okay seasons in Philly. I'm looking at a stat line right now. He didn't have the greatest seasons, but they weren't the worst either. For a second overall pick, I think that they expected much more out of him. But obviously with these migraines, you know, they were stopping him a little bit. It's nice to see him back. He's going to come in where he's not going to be expected to take the bull by the horns. He's going to have Giroux and Hayes in front of him on as the top two centers. But, you know, hopefully, you know, he could start becoming the player that Philly thought he would become when they drafted him second overall back in 2017. We'll see what happens. I'm happy he's all right. And let's see if he can become the player he was when he played in WHL, because he was a pretty good player in WHL, you know. He had, you know, seasons of 56 points in 55 games his first year, 102 points in 72 games his second year. And his third year, he had 46 points in 33 games, assuming that was an injury-shortened year. I think so. So let's see. Let's see if he can become the player he was projected to be for the Flyers.
Yeah, and I think this is only positive for the Flyers getting Nolan Patrick back. You're getting him back. You're also getting Oscar Lindblom back from his leukemia diagnosis and treatment as well. The other thing to note is Samuel Morin has made the transition from defenseman to forward for them, so he could potentially factor into that forward group if he really does make a big-time transition, because he's been a big prospect for the Flyers for a couple of years now. So it'll be interesting to see if he makes that transition, and it'll be interesting to see where the Flyers end up. But you'll just have to find out when we get to our predictions in a couple minutes. Tom, I want to turn it over to you with some World Juniors updates here, because we've got two big semifinal games coming up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Not a problem. Well, that was actually why I had that delayed lead in there. Canada's actually up 1-0 on Russia right now. Alex Newhook scored a goal that went off the back post and out. Obviously, it was reviewed and was in the net. Russians should be out for blood against Canada, but from what I've seen in this game so far, Canada seems to be all, even though Russia's out shooting them now, Canada was all over them early. Russia seems to be waking up a little bit as of late. I'll go over, you know, Saturday, the quarterfinals were great. Germany and Russia, you know, Germans held their own against the Russians. A better team won, though. I got to give my hats off to Germany in this tournament, the way they played with Stutzla and Paterka and this other kid, Elias. Germany really turned a lot of heads. They really impressed me, and the future is bright for German hockey. That Finland-Sweden game, what a classic. Sweden's up 2-0, walking away with it. Finland comes back and scores a game winner with 23 seconds left. Canada beating the Czechs was business as usual. The Czechs are usually a thorn in the Canadian side, but the way this Canadian team is built, they just beat them because they're just built to beat everybody. U.S. beat the Slovaks. The U.S. had a nice little thing going there. They had a little scare at the end. They came back and won the game. We have USA and Finland tonight. We have a rematch of the 2019 gold medal game and the quarterfinal last year, both of which the U.S. lost. Some of those players were on the U.S., including Cole Caulfield, Alex Turcotte, Trevor Zegras were around for those two games. So you got to think they're trying to get a little bit of revenge on the Finns. But I can't discount the Finns either, man. Lundell, Ratu, all these guys are playing well. Brad Lambert, all playing well for them. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen in this USA-Finland game tonight. Canada, after saying that they slowed down, now they put four shots on goal since I started talking. So this Canada-Russia game right now, it's only 1-0, but I'm curious to see what happens. I think the Russians are a little upset about what happened last year with that puck going off the camera in the gold medal game that tied the game for Canada, and they went and eventually won it. But it's been a great tournament so far. So let's see what happens tonight, and hopefully we'll have a nice gold medal game to review next week.
Yeah, hopefully. And I got to agree, that Finland-Sweden game was an instant classic. I mean, that was really, really good. And definitely nothing for Germany or Sweden to hang their heads on. They both had really good tournaments overall. And I was happy with how both teams looked overall, especially as a Devils fan. I was happy with how Alexander Holtz looked coming from Sweden. But that is just me. But we will have that gold medal game to review next week. But right now, we are going to dive into our predictions for the divisions this upcoming year, which if you're curious about what teams are in what division, make sure you check out our video from last week. We gave all the details for this upcoming return to play. So if you're curious, go back, check out that video. Drop a like, drop a comment as well if you're curious. And let's dive into our predictions. So we're going to start off right now with the North Division. And if you're confused, the North Division is the All-Canadian Division. So we're going to highlight who we think is going to finish in the top four, which the top four teams make the playoffs this year. Who do we feel like could finish last, and who do we feel is going to finish first? So first and foremost, who do we think is going to finish top four? Tom, I'll turn it over to you. What do you think top four looks like in the North Division?
Well, before I start, just want to add in about Canada, Team Canada. McMichael just potted one. It's 2-0 Canada over Russia right now. About 9 minutes left in the first period. But onto the NHL and the North Division, or the Canadian Division, however you want to call it, however you see it. I don't care. You do what you want with it. Top four, I'm going with number one, the Toronto Maple Leafs. I really think a full year under Sheldon Keefe, and I sound like a broken record, but I really think a full year under Keefe is really going to have that team playing up to their potential. Second place, a little bit of a spoiler alert here, a team that I have waxed poetic about how much I love what they're doing up there, the Vancouver Canucks. I'm going with them in second place. They have a great core in there, and the way Vasily Podkolzin has played for the Russians this tournament, I'd be surprised if he wasn't in Vancouver when this all ends. I don't know what his contract situation is, but if he can get out of his contract here with this tournament, I think he'll be taking a nice plane ride over to Vancouver to play for the Canucks this season. Third place, I'm going with the team with the obvious here, a little bit of an obvious choice, the Edmonton Oilers. They had a good year last year. I think that they're past their young stage 2 years ago where they, after having a great 2017, they blew it in 18 and 19. I think they're a little more mature now. I think they know what to do. I think you'll see them finishing third. And in fourth place, I'm going with Calgary. I think that they're going to – I don't know if they're going to have a total bounce back from last year, but I think they learned their lesson a little bit going from number one in the conference to, you know, being a bubble team last year. I think you're going to see Calgary climb up that last spot.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of validity to that. So for my picks, you and I have it similar. I have Toronto finishing at the top. And from there, similar again, I have Vancouver finishing second because I really do like that lineup that they're rolling out. And if Vasily Podkolzin can find his way over to the NHL club, all the better for Vancouver at this point. Then is where it gets a little bit different between you and I. I think Calgary finishes third. I think that with Jacob Markstrom in net, I think this gives Calgary a bigger advantage, whereas I'm not as confident in Edmonton in terms of who they have in net. And this is going to be kind of like a theme going like through these predictions, because I'm confident in Calgary's netminder. I'm also confident in Winnipeg, because that's why I have Winnipeg finishing fourth, because they're going to do it on the back of Connor Hellebuck. I mean, he is by far one of the best goaltenders in the entire league, and he is going to put that team on his back. And this is not a bad Winnipeg team either. It does mean that Edmonton does miss the cut, though. And it would be heartbreaking, but realistically, still, I'm not convinced in net. I'm just not. So with that said, we already went through our top four. Who do we feel like finishes last in this division, Tom?
Okay, I'm going with Ottawa, just for the simple reason that Ottawa doesn't have the talent or the lineups that these other teams do, or the experience. I'm not going to say talent, I'm going to say experience. But Ottawa's going to be a fun team to watch this year. Watching Tim Stützle play in this World Juniors, they have a franchise cornerstone for the next 10 to 15 years up there in Ottawa. I can't wait to see him line up against Austin Matthews in the Battle of Ontario games. Can't wait to see him line up against Connor McDavid when they play the Oilers. Can't wait to see him play against Vancouver just because it's two good young, a good young core, a young core that'll probably be good within a few years. Ottawa's going to be in last, but believe me, they're not going to be a team that's going to get walked all over. They're going to be a fun team to watch, and they'll, believe me, they'll learn from this year. It'll be a huge learning experience for them.
They'll be a fun team to watch, and, you know, realistically, part of me wants to say, yeah, Ottawa probably finishes last. I'm going to come out of left field here, because I feel like they were not as good as they showed last year, and I think it's going to bite them in the butt this year. I'm going to go with Montreal. And the only reason why I'm saying Montreal is because in an all Canadian division, they're a team that can get overexposed very quickly, where I don't feel like they play as fast a game as Ottawa can. I think Ottawa can surprise teams on certain nights. Though they're inexperienced, they have talent. Their top six is actually a lot deeper than I actually thought. I went and looked. I really like that top six that they've formed over this past offseason. It's an exciting looking team. Whereas Montreal, yeah, you've got some really interesting pieces there. You've got some real good players there. You've got Kotkaniemi. You've got Suzuki that's going to be on high watch this year for them. And you also have, you know, Josh Anderson that's going to be making his way over from Columbus. But at the end of the day, Carey Price is not getting any younger. And I feel like for an older goaltender to have to take a lot of the season in a shortened season, in a season where games are tighter and you only have maybe 1 or 2 days off in between each, I think it's going to be a rough season for Montreal potentially. This isn't bad, though, for Montreal. They're going to be looking up very, very soon, and it's very encouraging to see what Cole Caulfield's been doing, but he's still a year out. He's not going to make the club this year. I just think Montreal is going to suffer in an all-Canadian division. That's just me, though. So now we already know what we are thinking for number one, but let's go a little bit more in depth. Tom, why is it Toronto?
I mean, I said it earlier. I like that they're going to have a year under Keith. I like that, you know, they brought in a couple veterans like Joe. They have Joe Thornton skating on the top line in training camp today with Matthews and Marner. You know, they're not, you know, you're going to have Joe Thornton there. You're going to have some veterans there. You know, you got to figure this team's finally learned from their mistakes. They finally have a good coach. You know, I really think it's their time to shine right now. It's their time to strike while the iron's hot. They also don't have they have the luxury of not having the Boston Bruins or the Tampa Bay Lightning in their division. That helps big time. So I just think that right now the cards are lined up for them. It's just a matter of them striking while the iron's hot.
Yeah, I completely agree. And honestly, this is Toronto's division to lose at this point. I mean, they are by far the strongest team in this division. And you also might be looking at players that might end up being healthy scratches on this team, that on any other team in this division, they are in that lineup. And that says a lot about the talent of this Toronto team. I do like the pairing of Joe Thornton with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. I said it on Twitter that Joe Thornton is one of the greatest setup men of all time, and you've got Marner and Matthews that are coming into their own as goal scorers. So it's a natural match made in heaven. I mean, yeah, there are those cynical out there that are saying, well, it's either a match made in heaven or a match made somewhere else. So it's left to be seen if that experiment does turn out well, but I put my vote of confidence into that line. I think that could be an exciting line to watch with, you know, an experienced Joe Thornton with the younger experience in Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. But I still think it's Toronto's division to lose at this point. Moving on to the West division. So we're going to look top four here. Tom, who's your top four in the West?
Well, guess what? I got another scoring update for you guys before I do this. Perfetti just sniped one. It's 3-0 Canada now. I don't know what Russia's doing. Yeah, 13 shots for Canada to 4, about 4.5 left in the first period. Now I'm back to the NHL. I'm going for my top four in the West Division. I'm going Colorado, Vegas. I think we're going to see a little bit of resurgence season from San Jose. And then the St. Louis Blues, if they can get it together. It seems to be a little bit of turmoil there. So we got to see, will they capitalize on the turmoil, or will that team be running to the ground? I know Tarasenko has made some comments over the past week that he's not happy with the way a couple things have went. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be left to be seen. So I kind of go in a little bit more of a surprising route here, and I'll end up explaining myself a little bit here. I have Vegas finishing at the top over Colorado, and I'll explain that more when we get to our number one picks. Then I have Colorado, because either are interchangeable, to be honest. Then I have Anaheim. And with Anaheim, I really like what they have put together out in Los Angeles. I think there's a lot to be excited for there. And I do think that this was a team that was hurt last year. That's really one of the only reasons why they didn't play up to their potential. I do like Anaheim. That, and to go with the theme before, John Gibson. A healthy John Gibson goes a long, long way. And then I have Minnesota rounding it out. I have St. Louis finishing in fifth and Minnesota just getting that push. I just think Minnesota has a little bit of a stronger team at this point. A lot of them have them pegged as a lower team that, you know, maybe they're another like year or so away. They're still in that purgatory for me where they'll end up making the playoffs, but they're going to be playoff fodder. They're going to be out in one round, but they're still going to make it there. They have the experience to make it there. They've still got Ryan Suter. They've still got Zach Parise. You just named Jared Spurgeon your captain. You know, there's a lot there to be excited about. You just picked up Marcus Johansson as well, which is another good pickup for them. You have Kirill Kaprizov that is a potential Calder favorite for this upcoming year with a lot of expectations. And I mean, not to even mention Kevin Fiala. So I think a lot combined there, I think Minnesota can get the edge. But that being said, St. Louis, don't sleep on Jordan Binnington. That would be the only reason why they get into that number four spot. But there are winners, there are losers, as I always say. So who finishes last this year in the West? Tom, what say you?
Okay, well, I'm just going to go with the obvious here. I'm going to go with the obvious here. I'm going to go with Arizona. I mean, it's obvious. It's obvious they have a ton of problems down there. You know, they lost Taylor Hall. I mean, you still have Kessel, and I guess you still have, you brought Broussard in to replace Stephon. And if this was in New York about 7 or 8 years ago, you know, maybe that would work. But I don't see anybody being worse than them at this point. It's hard. It's hard for me to come up with a logical argument for them not to.
That's fair. And I see where you're coming from. But I'm going to give one other team to consider in the West to potentially finish last, and that's LA. And that's no knock on LA. LA has the deepest farm system in the entire NHL. But because they have the deepest farm system, they're also the furthest out from that farm system actually transitioning up to the NHL. Yes, you do have a couple guys that could factor on this NHL team this year. Quentin Byfield could factor. Alex Turcotte might factor. You know, these are players that could play a factor at the NHL level this year, but it's inexperienced. Arizona is still a little bit further along than LA is. Now, if you ask me next year, who's going to finish, you know, near the, you know, a little bit better than they did last year? LA, without question. I think LA is going to be a fantastic team in the next 2 or 3 years, but they're still 2 or 3 years away. You know, this is now that we're talking about. You know, farm systems are great only when the potential is actually reached. So that being said, I think LA is still 1 year away. I have them pegged as finishing below Arizona. Arizona's not far behind, though. Arizona, you're not out of the doghouse by a long shot. So now finishing first, Tom, give me your reasoning for Colorado, please.
I still think that they're very much stacked. They're very deep. Their defense, they brought Devin Taves in. And to be honest with you, once this World Juniors is over, I really think you're see Bowen Byram heading over to Denver to play in the NHL, right? As soon as this tournament ends, I think he's going to be headed out to Colorado. I do think Newhook's going to go back to BC, but I think when it's all said and done, when the playoffs start and the college season is over, I think you'll be seeing Alex Newhook in Colorado too. I love their depth. I love their defense. Their goaltending might not be the greatest, but you know what? It's better than most. I just have a hard time. I have a hard time seeing anybody overtake them. I really do.
And that's fair. But my argument with Vegas is this, and this is my only knock on Colorado. First and foremost, Colorado's forward group certainly deeper than Vegas at this point. And that's not a knock on Vegas. Vegas has a deep forward group as well. Colorado also gets a little bit of edge in terms of defense, even though I still might give it to Vegas. Where Colorado does not beat Vegas, though, is in goaltending. And that's been a problem for Colorado for a few years now. Now, Philip Grubauer is a good goaltender. I'm not taking that away from him. But Robin Lehner and Marc-Andre Fleury are both better than him. And it was so obvious last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs that when Philip Grubauer got injured, that was it for Colorado. And Colorado should not have been knocked out that early. And it just shows their deficiencies in net right now. They are still a better goaltender away or a tandem away from being that number one perennial team. That being said, yeah, you might get to the playoffs and you might reseed things and Colorado might matchup against Vegas, Colorado might beat Vegas. It's entirely possible. But in terms of division finishing, I have Vegas pegged a little bit higher. It's still going to come down to the wire. They're going to trade places throughout the entire season. But push comes to shove, I'm still going to go with Vegas here at the top of that division. Moving on to the Central Division, we are going to talk about our top fours here. So, Tom, what's your top four in the Central Division?
Okay, I'm going with Tampa, Carolina, Dallas, and Nashville.
All right, good choices for me. I'm going with Tampa, Carolina, Dallas, and Columbus. I think Columbus does manage to sneak in there because, look, I don't like the guy that much, but John Tortorella knows how to get teams to the playoffs. He just does. Whether it's actually winning a cup and actually doing anything of note in the playoffs besides knocking out strong teams and then just laying a goose egg, you know, I don't know. But they still find their way into the playoffs. Tom, who finishes last here?
Detroit. But after everything that's happened with Chicago over the past 2 weeks, it's going to be a competition. It's going to be a fight for last place between those two. I'm going with Detroit right now. We got to see what happens in Chicago. Could Chicago trade Patrick Kane sometime this year, and that makes them even worse? We don't know. We really don't know. Then again, you got to look at Chicago, too. They still have DeBrincat. They still have Kubalik. They still have Kane. Not a cup contender by any means, but I still think that's a better team than what Detroit's going to put out there. So we'll see. Who knows?
And another note for Chicago, Chicago also re-signing Strom to a two-year deal as well. So you also have him in the fold as well. But yeah, Chicago's not far behind. I still think Detroit is still a little bit further away at this point, though. I think there's a lot to be excited for in Detroit. But at the end of the day, yeah, you made an upgrade in net with Thomas Greiss. But Greiss is 34, and he's not getting any younger. He's a better goaltender than what you had, but it might not be that push to get you out of the cellar just yet. Now, that being said, Detroit is going to be a very exciting team to watch over these next couple of years as they develop. I think we could be, entering the, better days ahead for Detroit, especially with how they've drafted. I think there's a lot to be excited for, especially from watching Lucas Raymond in this past tournament for Sweden. And, hopefully, better days ahead for Detroit. Chicago, maybe not so much, but we'll see what happens. But now, it seems like we're in agreement here, Tom, but I'm curious as to your reasoning for Tampa over maybe other teams. So what's your argument for Tampa finishing first in the Central?
I mean, they're the defending champs, number one. They still have that core from last year. They're still a very good – I mean, they've been a very good team just about every year lately. You know what I'm saying? So I have a hard time seeing it be – I know Carolina could make some noise against them, but it's just it's hard for me to see anybody passing them right now. It also kind of helps that Steven Stamkos is going to be back at 100% too. That's always a good thing to have. Hopefully, his injury problems are behind him. But we'll see what happens. I don't know. But as of right now, I think that they are the team. They are the team right now that I'm not saying they're the team to beat, but I'm saying they're the team that's going to finish first. I know they're going to be without Kucherov, but I think it's a one-for-one swap, Kucherov for Stamkos. If Stamkos stays healthy all year, I think that the loss of Kucherov is going to be minimal. So we'll see what happens. Like I say with everything, but I just think that they're the team right now to finish in first in that division.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I have Tampa finishing in first also. But that being said, don't sleep on Carolina. I think Carolina can surprise a lot of teams, and they're not going to finish too far behind Tampa in the Central Division. I am that high on Andrei Svechnikov, on Sebastian Aho, Teuvo Teravainen, and they have a deep D core as well. That being said, Tampa still has the majority of their Stanley Cup winning team in place, and I think there's a lot there for Tampa to maybe emerge from the Central, not even just from the Central, but just emerge as a potential Stanley Cup, challenging team for this year, and maybe even make that threat to repeat, which we haven't seen in a while, not since the Pittsburgh Penguins. But moving on to probably the most divisive division here, alliterations are fun, by the way, but probably moving on to the division that gives us a little bit of a headache here, ironically also containing our favorite teams, the Eastern Division. Tom, what's your top four look like in the East?
Sure. As I had mentioned before, I think this is really Washington's. This might be one of their last dances here, maybe this year or next. So I'm picking Washington to finish in first. I think the same with Pittsburgh. This probably is one of Pittsburgh's last shots here. So I'm actually picking them to finish in second. The next two are going to be where I have a little controversy. It's going to be where there's a little controversy. In third place, I'm picking Buffalo. You know, they did a lot of good this offseason, bringing in Eric Staal and Taylor Hall. And I really think, I know I'm watching, it's a constant thing with these juniors and just what I've watched. I do think that I don't think Jack Quinn will be there this year, but I think that Dylan Cousins will be heading to Buffalo this year too at some point. So I'm picking them to finish in third. And then in fourth place, and I'm sticking with what I said way back in our division previews when we had the Metropolitan Division, I'm picking the Rangers to make the playoffs. I'm picking the Rangers to finish, take that fourth spot. Maybe they'll pass the Flyers. Maybe they'll pass somebody else. But I'm being a little bit of a homer here. I'm picking the Rangers to finish fourth to make the playoffs.
That's fair. So my top four looks quite different from yours. And first and foremost, I mean, my top team isn't even in your top four. I'll put it to you like that. So here we go. My top team, Philadelphia. I think that highly of Philadelphia in this division. Next is Washington, then Buffalo. So we agree on that one. And then Boston. And with Boston, as much as I wanted to leave them out, as much as it pains me to say it, they're still a playoff team. They still have the pieces in place. Whether they're all there, you know, by the time we get to the trade deadline is something left to be seen. But as of right now on paper, I think Boston is a playoff team. That could change when we get to April, though. But right now, on paper, right now, not predicting any deals or trades, I have them fourth. So this might pain me to ask you this, but who do you have finishing last, Tom?
Sorry, Brian, you're going to hate me. I'm picking your New Jersey Devils, and it's not because I hate the Devils. It's not because I think they're a bad team. It's not because I think they're a mess. They rebuilt it very nicely. They had a good draft. They have some of those pieces in place. It's just a matter of experience, and their experience in comparison to these other teams right now just isn't there. They're doing the right thing. It's going to be a great year for kids like Hughes and his year, and you know, whomever, if they are able to sign anybody that they got in the draft, or for whomever they bring in with them, be a great year for them to learn something, and they will build off of it. But I can't see them finishing above anybody in this division as of right now.
But that's fair enough, and I understand exactly where you're coming from. I actually don't have the Devils finishing last this year because I think the coaching change and, you know, GM change could be enough to spark, you know, them out of the basement. I think there's more to be excited for as a Devils fan this upcoming season than the previous two seasons. Now I'm going to be going with a bold prediction here, and this could get my head chopped off for this one. Not by you, Tom, because it's not the Rangers. Don't worry. But it is another team in New York, though. I'm going to go with the Islanders, and that's a hot take, especially because a lot of people might be thinking, hey, they have Ilya Sorokin in net. That has to count for something. Yes, but he still needs to adjust to the NHL game. You know, that is a major factor that people are not considering. As much of a goaltending prodigy as Sorokin is, he still needs that adjustment time. You know, he's still going to need a little bit of time. Plus, who's to say that Trotz doesn't do an even split down the middle between Varlamov and Sorokin? Also, who's to say that Lou Lamoriello doesn't go full Lou Lamoriello and fire Trotz midway through because the Islanders aren't performing that well? Yeah, for no reason. So, you know, all of these combined, like, take it from me. I'm a Devils fan. I'm a lifelong Devils fan. I respect Lou Lamoriello so much. But we all know as Devils fans, that train's never late. It's going to happen eventually. So that's my bold take. I think the Islanders, especially with the mess going on with the Matt Barzal deal, something doesn't feel right as, you know, if I'm looking as an Islanders fan right now. I think there is a lot to be excited for. I think, you know, having Brock Nelson and Josh Bailey and Pageau are really, really good pieces. Something tells me that one or two of them aren't going to be an Islander by season's end. Just call my gut. I don't know why. But now we have deferring number one, you know, finishers right now. So, Tom, give me your justification for Washington. Why do you have Washington there?
Like I said, they still have that core. They have a coach who can work with that core. They made a nice signing there with Chara, but this is what I'm going to say about this division. First place is going to be constantly changing here. You could see Washington in first for a while, Pittsburgh, could see Buffalo take a share at first. Philly could maybe be in first for a little bit. The Rangers may have a shot at first. Boston may have a shot at first. This is going to be a division that I don't think is going to be decided until the last day of the season. I really do think that. I don't think there's going to be a clear-cut number one all year. This is going to be a division where first place gets decided on that final weekend of the season.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think this is the one division that could be jockeying for first place all the way up until the end of the season. The other division that I have that with a little bit is the West as well. But in regards to my number one pick, I have Philadelphia picking up the number one overall seed. And the reason being, Carter Hart. I think so highly of this kid, and I think not enough people actually are talking about him as a potential Vezina favorite this year. And that's a hot take from me of I do think that Carter Hart is going to finish in that top three for Vezina talk, for Jennings talks, and I think that's going to make all the difference for Philadelphia this year. You also have a motivated Claude Giroux. You know, Claude Giroux was visibly unhappy with how they got knocked out in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think that's going to be a massive motivator, especially with how his line really did lay a goose egg throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think he's going to look for retribution. And you also have, like I said before, you've got Nolan Patrick possibly coming back looking for revenge, an influx of talent there. You also have Oscar Lindblom coming back, which is an influx of talent. And, you know, I think all the pieces are in place for Philadelphia to make a potentially deep run in the Stanley Cup playoff. But what do you guys think? Do you guys agree with what we have to say? Do you agree with our picks? Do you disagree with our picks? You got to let us know, because the only way that you can let us know is a couple ways. First of all, make sure you check us at i80sports.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at i80_sports_NHL. You can also check us out on our Facebook group, the i80 sports discussion group. I don't know what I was saying there, but beyond that, make sure you check out our listener league, our fantasy hockey league. If you're curious about that, drop a comment down below. And if you would be so kind on this YouTube video, like, comment, share with all your friends. And if you're not subscribed already, make sure you subscribe, so that way you can get content like this week after week after week. I'm Brian. He's Tom. This has been i80 Sports NHL.